Reading is taken from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16, and can be found on page 1180. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Jesus Christ. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. This is the word of the Lord. The Gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, and can be found on page 967. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God, and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came to attend him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
From Philippians chapter 3. We are working our way through the book of Philippians at the moment. It's taking quite a while, what with various other special Sundays where we're breaking the sequence. But we're getting onto the home straight. So we're reading this brilliant letter that Paul wrote to the church or churches around the city of Philippi, encouraged the Christians there. And we're looking this morning at this teaching that he gives about pressing on towards the goal. Now, some of you may know that my son Joseph and I have over the last few years been walking the Pennine Way, which is a long-distance footpath along the length of the Pennine Mountains from Edale in Derbyshire to Kirkyetholm, just over the Scottish border. We haven't finished it yet. The whole thing normally takes about 3.5 weeks, and as we haven't had that big slot of time available, we're doing it in bits. Good fun, Amala, and I was thinking about it this morning, because Paul is talking here about his Christian life is a journey, is a long journey. And he's kind of using the language of the marathon race, which was, you know, part of the classical world, and the idea of pressing on towards the end to win the prize. Now, not being a marathon runner, or for that matter, any kind of runner, I thought I'd best find something to help us understand that. I thought this long distance walk that we're doing does actually help us a little bit to hopefully to work out what Paul is on about. And I want to pick out 5 things that Paul says in these verses about the lifelong journey that he's on. The first is there in verse 12 in the beginning. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And so that's the first thing that we need to know, that Paul knows, and we should know, that Jesus has got a hold on us. He's not going to let us go. How has he done that? Well, we're going to be sharing bread and wine in a moment to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, to remember the forgiveness of sins that he brings us, and therefore our reconciliation with God. And so the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes from Jesus' death and resurrection. So because we have Jesus in our life, we know that he's got a hold on us. And that's really important, isn't it? That actually on this journey, we're not on our own. Jesus is going with us and he will look after us. That's a really important point to start. The second thing on this journey we're on is that it's what lies ahead that matters. Paul says in verse 13, forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind. Paul knows that on his journey, he can't change the past. He can't undo what has been done. On our journey along the Pennines, Joseph and I have had quite a few mishaps. We've got lost a few times. Well, to be precise, I got lost. If it'd be up to Joseph, we wouldn't have got lost. But I, thinking I knew better, I got lost. We've had some interesting camping experiences, including one where we were playing on a farm and the chickens ate our breakfast. All that, so we've had various things that have gone wrong and haven't quite gone to plan. But actually, it doesn't help us as we carry on along the path if we think about that too much, if we brood over the things that have gone wrong, the mistakes, the things we could have done better. It's much more important for us to focus on what lies ahead, because we can't go back. Well, we could, but it'd be a bit of a waste of time to go back and redo the bits that didn't go so well and do them better. Much better to carry on. And that is so true, isn't it, of our Christian life. We know that when we look back, there will be good things, but we'll inevitably start to think about our past failures, the times when we haven't followed Jesus perfectly, the times when we have broken, when we've mucked up our relationships, the times when we've given in to temptation, the times when we've used our time badly, and when we know we've done things that really aren't compatible with our calling as Christians. Now, all we need to know about those things in the past is that Jesus has dealt with them. He dealt with them on the cross. When he died on the cross, taking our sins upon himself, taking the punishment that should have been ours, those things are dealt with. Dealt with. And if we dwell in the past, we ask God, he would say, well, what sin was that? It's been dealt with. Completely. Erased. So, let's focus then on what lies ahead. Each day gives us a new start, doesn't it? It's a good practice in our prayer life, maybe as we go to bed, to reflect on, to look back on the day that we've had, to think about what went well and what went not so well, and to resolve to do better the following day. And as we wake the following day, to commit that day to God and to say, Lord, please be with me on this day that lies ahead. Every day is a new, fresh start, a new section on the journey. So Jesus got a hold of us, and it's what lies ahead that matters. The third thing is that we can expect it to be tough. The Pennine Way is over fairly rough terrain, and because of the distance between places where you can stop for the night, at least places where you can stop for the night if you don't fancy pitching your tent on top of a windswept hill, the distances are often about 20 miles between. So you're often having to walk a good 20 miles a day in order to get to your dinner and your bed, which is quite a motivation, I can tell you. So it's tough at times, and the weather isn't always kind, And there is actually a medical condition called penile waning. I can tell you, I've suffered from it. And the reason it happens is this. So if you know about hill walking, you know the paths generally don't go straight up mountains, because that would be too steep. So they tend to follow the contours round. And the problem is that on the path that you take, you go near around the contours pretty much always in a clockwise direction, which means you're favouring your one knee rather than the other, which is fine if you just walk through it for a couple of days. If you're doing it for a week on end, your knees start to realise it. You soon recover, but it is actually a recognised condition. The walk we're on, the Christian life we're on, is going to be tough, isn't it? I'm sure that every one of you here will say there have been times when life has been really hard. And it may be that it's really hard for you at the moment. There have been times when you may have felt like giving up on your Christian faith. There have been times when you felt as if God didn't love you. There have been times when you felt as if it just wasn't worth the effort. And that could have been because of sickness, or it could have been because of a relationship breakdown, or difficulties at work, or difficulties with money, or all the kinds of things that we find come against us, in the world that we live in. It's going to be tough, and there'll be aspects of it which are particularly tough because of our Christian faith. We may find that our families and friends want to have less to do with us, maybe mock us, give us all kinds of grief because of our commitment to Jesus. And Paul says this, he says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Look at that word, straining. It's not a stroll, is it? It's not a gentle amble. Straining towards what is ahead. It requires Paul to put in great effort, because it's tough. It is really tough. But there is a final destination. Look at verse 14. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. There is a goal, and Paul says that he's been called heavenwards. That's really important, isn't it? That we're not just wandering aimlessly, we have a final destination. And that final destination is what Paul calls heaven. Now, the traditional view of heaven as a sort of a place, place up there in the sky, isn't always that helpful. What the Bible tells us is there will be a day when Jesus will return and we will live with him, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And everything will be perfect. All evil things will pass away. There will be no more tears and no more suffering. That's what we're looking forward to. That's our final destination. And Paul says there is a prize at the destination. I press on towards the goal to win the prize. Now, if you complete the Pennine Way, you get a sort of prize. Because one of the people who was involved in it being created, Alfred Wainwright, left some money so that anybody who completes the walk can go to the border inn at Kirkyatholm, which is the official end of the route, and claim a free half pint of beer. Now, you might think that's not a great reward for walking 268 miles up and down mountains, but, it's a start. It's a prize. And I'm sure that when we finally get there and when we have it in our hand, it will feel brilliant that we've completed it. But how much better a prize we have for us. But actually, we will share that eternity with God, that we will be with him for eternity. And the point about what Paul says is that prize is what he's straining towards. In other words, he's looking towards it. He knows that that's the end. And that's an incredible motivation for him to keep going. Hope that we have as Christians, we should be able to hold it in front of us and say, yeah, that's what we're straining towards. That's what we're looking towards. That's what we're walking towards. It doesn't matter how long we take to get there. It doesn't matter how quickly we get there. It's not a race. We're not competing against each other. Actually, the beautiful thing is that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're called to help each other along the way, aren't we? It's great that when Joseph and I are doing that Pennine Way, actually there have been times when one of us has been really struggling and the other of us has encouraged the other. That's a good metaphor for what we do as Christians, isn't it? We encourage each other as we walk along the way. And there's some specific ways that we can do that. If you're struggling, don't keep it to yourself. You may be a fairly private person, and you may certainly not want what you're going through to everybody to know, but surely there might be a few people who you trust who you could say, this is what I'm going through, can you please pray with me, can you pray for me in this struggle that I'm going through. It may be that there's practical support that we as a church or your friends here at church can give you if you are struggling. And it never ceases to amaze and to some extent disappoint me sometimes how I hear about a situation that a church member is going through. And I may have been in a really tricky situation sometimes for years on end, and they've never told anybody about it. They've struggled with it on their own. It's not supposed to be like that. Yeah? We are supposed to share our sufferings with each other so that we can encourage and help each other. And sometimes that can be tough. Sometimes that might mean calling somebody out. If we see that our brother or sister in Christ, our friend, is on a path that actually is doing them no good at all, it actually sometimes we need to have that hard conversation and say, look, this way you're spending time, these people you're spending time with, is it really helpful to your spiritual life? Is it not doing you damage? Is it not turning you away from Jesus? Sometimes you might need to have those hard conversations. And that's all part of encouraging each other as we walk along the way. But talking about this got me thinking about another walk. And it was a walk much harder, the walk that I'm doing bit by bit with my son. It was a shorter walk, but much harder. It was the walk that Jesus made from the palace of the Roman governor to Golgotha, where he and others were to be crucified. He had already been weakened by the beatings that he'd received and the crown of thorns placed on his head. As he walked along that road, he wasn't being encouraged, but rather taunted and jeered at by the crowd that lined the way. Moreover, he had to carry the heavy cross which he was to be crucified on. And when he got to the end of the road, his prize was to be nailed to that cross and to die an agonizing death. No walk that we can ever do, nothing that we can go through in our life will equal the suffering that Jesus went through that day. And that means that Jesus knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like for you to suffer, because his sufferings have completed yours and have overtaken them. There's nothing we can suffer that Jesus hasn't suffered before in his life on earth and his death, and particularly in the walk of that final day. And he does that. He goes through because the prize isn't actually the cross. What the cross brings is forgiveness for humanity. Forgiveness for human beings like you and me. And Jesus knew that as he died on the cross, that he was saving, rescuing the human beings that he loved. And he loves each one of us. It was love that held him there, not the nails. And so that was the prize that he was winning. And we are the prize that Jesus won at the cross. We are the reason he walks that walk. We are the reason he submitted himself to that terrible death. We remember that as we share bread and wine this morning. And as we remember that, we remember that he is what makes our walk worthwhile. Because when we stumble, or when we wander off the way, when we get lost in the many byways that this world offers us, which look more tempting, don't we? As we walk along, walk the Christian way, there's paths off the side, which the world offers us, which look all so much more fun, but actually lead to destruction. When we start to wander along those ways, it's because Jesus walked the walk and we know we can be forgiven. If we turn back on the way, that our wanderings have been forgiven. However far we stray from him, God always longs for us to come back. We shared that image last week, didn't we, of the Father standing at the gate, waiting for his prodigal son to come home to him. That's what God is like. However far we wander away, he's always waiting for us to come back. And it's because what Jesus went for on the cross, taking our punishment upon himself, that we can know that forgiveness, that we can be given that fresh start, however many times we need it. As we go from here, as we go back into the world, let's remember these lessons that Paul is teaching us. He spoke at length, hasn't he, to the Philippians about the particular selfless nature of the Christian life, how we ought to be focused, as Jesus was, on others and their needs, to live for him and to live for his glory. But as we know, that can be really tough. The Philippians knew that it could be really tough. They were going through quite intense persecution for their Christian faith. They knew how tough it could be. And what Paul has told them is, there is a keep walking, keep going, keep straining on, don't give up, because there is a prize. And because of the walk that Jesus walked, we know that we will get there.